The following announcement has been paid for by Perched on the Top Rope.
What's up, guys? This is the Murder Hawk Monster, Lance Archer, and you are watching Perched on the Top Rope. And watch out, because I'll chokeslam you on the way down.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us today for this special call with Tony Khan to discuss the upcoming Ring of Honor Final Battle pay-per-view at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York. Just some quick housekeeping items in the interest of time and to give opportunities to as many people as possible. We ask that you kindly refrain from asking two-parted questions and please try to keep your questions focused on Ring of Honor Final Battle. I'm going to turn it over to Tony for some opening thoughts and then we'll open the line. So Tony, take it away.
Hey, thank you very much for joining us today for this ROH Final Battle media call. I'll be spending a lot of time with a number of you in the coming weeks, which is exciting. It's nice to spend time together around the holidays, right? And I'm very excited. I'm a big Christmas guy to begin with, and I'm very excited. We've got a big weekend at Hammerstein of ROH and AEW coming. And in addition to the ROH pay-per-view Final Battle, we'll be filming some ROH TV also around Saturday's Christmas Collision. So it'll be really exciting and a lot of exciting things happening in each company, and very excited to talk, focused on Final Battle right now. We'll see a number of you also in the scrum, and also coming up very soon, next week, we'll be jumping into the World's End media call. So it's an exciting time of the year. And obviously, in pro wrestling, a lot of great things happening, and for AEW and ROH, great things, with, AEW in particular, World's End and the move to Max, for streaming, in addition to continuing on TBS and TNT for the simulcast, and, ROH with this big Final Battle show and getting to go to Hammerstein for a big weekend of both companies. It should be a great time. I will stay on for a while here. I think since we're going to be doing another media call next week and there's going to be a scrum coming up, I might not do the full hour here, but let's see how it goes. And I'm going to try to get a lot of questions in, and before I know it, I'll probably be running up against the hour again. We'll see how it goes. But Danny, why don't you take it away and let's have a good media call here.
Sounds great. Thank you, Tony. First up, we have Amy Nemedy with WrestleJoy, and Amy will be followed by Dominic D'Angelo with One True Sport. Amy?
Great.
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me? Hi, Tony.
Absolutely.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Amy.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Hi. Hey. I'm so excited about Final Battle this year because last year at Final Battle, Billy Starks and Athena main evented the pay-per-view for the ROH Women's World Championship. And as hard as they fought, Billy was unable to overcome the strength of her mentor as Athena retained and has since become the longest reigning champion of any kind in Ring of Honor. Can you talk about the progression Billy Starks has made since last year? And do you think that Athena may be underestimating what lies in wait for her this time at the iconic Hammerstein Ballroom? Thank you for your time.
Well, it's been great. Thank you very much for asking. And it's been amazing to watch the growth of Billy Starks. I first met Billy in Universal Studios in Orlando, working the dark tapings. And she was a standout teenage prospect and is a great young wrestler and has been for years, but she's matured and gotten better and better, more confident and crisper. And you see she's maturing in and out of the ring and becoming a young veteran with a good amount of experience for her young age. So it's really interesting to see. And I think under the tutelage of the most dominant champion in the history of Ring of Honor, Athena, we've seen Billy rise to new heights. She's been the ROH World Women's Television Champion. And I think that this is a great match. It's a rematch. And since their previous encounter, we saw Billy come a long way, become the TV champion. And they were both involved. Last week, we saw in a very important match, with Athena and Billy Starks being two of the four competitors involved in the International Women's Cup qualifier on a really great episode of ROH TV, I thought. Really strong episode that really developed a lot of things. It was a great crowd in Columbus, and they were very excited about the show, and that was a great match. And we saw Athena pick up the win. Athena is going to the International Women's Cup at the Tokyo Dome. But Billy Starks was no pushover, and we saw Billy competitive in the match down to the end. And I think Athena may at times underestimate Billy Starks on Ring of Honor TV, but I do think we saw them have a fantastic match a year ago, and it's going to be really interesting to see where things stand now coming out of that great International Women's Cup qualifying four-way. And now knowing Athena is looking ahead to the Tokyo Dome, I'm very interested to see what happens when they meet. Very excited about that. It's a great world championship match for Ring of Honor to have Athena defending the title against Billy Starks in a rematch in such a big spot on one of the most important shows for ROH, Final Battle at this iconic venue that we're really excited about. I think it's going to be a great rematch, Billy Starks versus Athena for the world title.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks. Up next is Dominic D'Angelo with One True Sport, and he will be followed by Jim Varsalone with the Miami Herald. Dominic?
Hey, Tony, can you hear me okay?
Hear you great. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, great card lined up here. Final Battle should be pretty exciting with the atmosphere of the Hammerstein Ballroom all mixed in. Always appreciate it when, like, Dustin Rhodes is a part of the equation, and it's cool that he's doing the tag team title match there with Sammy Guevara. But did want to ask about another tag team, and in specific, a certain star in EJ Nuduka. He's been signed for AEW or with AEW and ROH for quite a while now, and I just wanted to get your assessment on his ceiling, what you think of his ceiling overall, and his overall development as he progresses with your company.
Well, thanks for asking about EJ. First of all, I'm excited about the tag team, Lee Johnson and EJ. They've been really doing well as a tag team, and we're seeing them in some individual matches too. And I think it's going to be interesting to see their development. Recently, they've been clashing with the Gates of Agony, who have been a top team in AEW and in Ring of Honor. And I think that's a good matchup, the Gates of Agony against Lee Johnson and EJ. And certainly that's one of the young rising stars that we're interested in and we think has a lot of potential in ROH and AEW. So it'll be interesting to track their progress. I think Lee Johnson has tons of upside also, but they're very different wrestlers. I think they have complementary skills, and that was the idea behind the Lee J tag team. And there's still more to be announced through ROH TV. We've got some huge matches on the card we're here to talk about today, but there's still a go-home TV show here and some more things coming together in the go home week, but I wanted to get, you know, a chance to talk to all of you now. I'm excited about a match on this week's TV show, Lee Johnson versus Khan of the Gates of Agony. I thought Lee Johnson versus Toa was an excellent singles match, but I think EJ and Lee is a tag team against the Gates of Agony could be an interesting match too. And that's something to keep an eye on here. And like I said, there'll be more matches and more to be announced for the Zero Hour in particular. And there's some really good things on the main card already, but I think those are guys that I would look to feature coming up here at Hammerstein on the ROH TV, but also potentially on the Zero Hour. So thanks for asking.
Thank you, Tony. Up next, we have Jim Varsalone with the Miami Herald, followed by a write-in from Kimmy Sokol with the Pop Break. Jim?
Tony, Ring of Honor's Final Battle. Mention it, it's returning to the Hammerstein, and that's such an iconic place, especially for Ring of Honor Final Battle. I'm just curious your thoughts, if you could expand more on that venue and what that venue means to Ring of Honor and bringing it back there now, this event.
It's a very exciting to be in this venue for ROH and to premiere AEW there. I'm really looking forward to Final Battle. Final Battle will be my first time ever in the Hammerstein Ballroom or the Manhattan Center venue, and I'm thrilled about it. I think it's an iconic space. I was a wrestling fan for many years before I became a wrestling promoter, and that's one of the buildings across multiple promotions for many years that I've always thought was such a unique and special wrestling venue. And I'm really excited that we get to spend some time and put on great wrestling matches for the great fans in New York and people watching all over the world, because I think that's one of those venues that there's fans just like me that honestly have never been there and want to see wrestling from there and love to watch big matches and know the history of the venue, but have never actually been there. And I'm excited to go for the first time for ROH on Friday for Final Battle, this huge event, and also to be there for AEW for Christmas Collision and Dynamite on 34th Street Christmas night, which is going to be really neat to have AEW on Christmas night. I'm looking forward to that. We've done Rampage on Christmas night before. I watch out with my family on Christmas. I'm looking forward to watching Dynamite with them this year. And New Year's Smash, which will be a very special way to celebrate Rampage on TNT, and then a lot of great matches and moments coming up this weekend for the fans in New York and people watching all over, emanating from Hammerstein Ballroom at the Manhattan Center in New York. But the first time I'll ever be in the venue, my first time there, is going to be ROH on Friday, and I'm really excited for Final Battle and to step into the Hammerstein Ballroom for my first time ever as a wrestling fan and as a wrestling promoter. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony, and thanks, Jim. I have a write-in here from Kimmy Sokol with the Pop Break, and that will be followed by Kevin Kellum with Sports Kita. Tony, Kimmy writes, Red Velvet is someone who's had a breakout year in ROH. Since winning the ROH Women's TV title, she's gone on to Mexico as well as become a face of the brand. So what do you attribute to the rise of Red Velvet over the last year?
I am a huge fan of Red Velvet. I think Red Velvet has been a star in the making for years. She's been in huge spots in AEW and ROH. And I thought Red Velvet stepped up in the ring this year more than ever. And she's always been a great wrestler. She's been involved in huge matches. She's wrestled on all the AEW TV shows. She was in the main event of the first ever AEW Rampage. She was in huge spots from day one in this company, that as far as when she stepped into the ring, she immediately got called into a very important match. It was really a big spot for her to step into in AEW when she first arrived. And she came from wrestling on AEW Dark to wrestling on Dynamite very quickly. And she's been fantastic for years, but this, I think, has been her best year in ring, in my opinion. She had some fantastic matches, and she was also involved, as was the challenger, Legit Layla Hirsch, in that excellent match last week, the four-way match to qualify for the International Women's Cup. And both Layla and Red Velvet, as well as Billy Starks and Athena, who we just were talking about in the world title match, both of the world television champion Red Velvet and the challenger for the world TV title, Legit Layla Hirsch, they were involved in that match also. It was interesting to see everything come together for the top women in ROH. And Layla Hirsch and Red Velvet had a fantastic match in the inaugural ROH Women's World TV title tournament earlier this year. That was a fantastic match in the tournament leading up to the finals. And we've talked about Billy Starks and her reign as the TV champ. And I think Red Velvet is somebody who's gone now and been excellent also as the TV champion, has traveled. Billy Starks was under the thumb of Athena, and Athena really did not, I think, want Billy Starks out there defending the title or outshining her. So we saw Billy Starks doing a lot of eliminator matches. You know, nobody was able to hang with her, but Billy Starks wasn't necessarily traveling and free to be under the thumb of Athena, free to be the fighting champion that Red Velvet is trying to be. I think Billy Starks could be a great fighting champion potentially, but as the TV champion, she was certainly under the thumb of Athena. Red Velvet's under nobody's thumb and has really had a fantastic year. I think Stephanie's a great wrestler and has had a banner year. And then legit Layla Hirsch, the challenger, is somebody who also has been with us for years, has overcome injuries, much like Red Velvet. Both of them have had missed time due to injury and have had a fantastic year. I think that Women's World TV title tournament in ROH really showcased a lot of the great wrestlers. And these are two of them in particular that are going to be competing for the title at Final Battle in Hammerstein. So I'm really looking forward to that match, legit Layla Hirsch versus the champion Red Velvet. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Tony. Up next, we have Kevin Kellum with Sports Kita, who will be followed by Samantha Shipman with the Daily DDT. Kevin?
Didn't you guys hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Hey. All right,
perfect. Sorry, Tony. There was a little bit of a blip there. Thanks for once again giving us the time. You have a massive main event here with Chris Jericho, who was truly one of the guys you broke AEW to the world with, and he is a Hall of Fame talent. And he takes on kind of the ultimate outlier, the one guy that no one can really lock down with a contract, at least that's what we know publicly, with Matt Cardona. How did this match come together? Why is it the main event of Final Battle in terms of you being the man who makes that decision? And what's the real selling point for you making this match? What made this match special for you to present as a main event for ROH on pay-per-view?
Well, it's a huge double main event. And it's we've talked a lot about the other world title match, and I think that's a huge match. And now we can talk about this world title match, which is also a huge match, and it's a very different circumstance. And we've got a huge double main event with the world champions defending the titles in Hammerstein Ballroom in these massive spots. And I think with Chris Jericho versus Matt Cardona, that's a very interesting thing. Matt Cardona is somebody I really like and I thought would be great to bring back now because I want to work with Matt more. He was fantastic for us in AEW earlier this year, wrestling in the Cope Open when Adam Copeland was defending the TNT title and when Adam Copeland was healthy and wrestling at such a high level for us. And the Cope Open was one of the real highlights of the year in AEW, in my personal opinion. And I thought Matt Cardona was fantastic in the Cope Open. And he just had a great match, a great reaction. And I said, I really want to work with Matt again. It's been a long time. It's been years since we've done anything with Matt. Matt's a top independent wrestler. And he's a real New York guy. And to go into New York, I thought he would be a great person to come into Ring of Honor and somebody that we could work with and that is in a lot of the cities where ROH has a great history. Matt is very established. He's a great wrestler. And with ROH's presence on digital and potentially on television, Matt's somebody that is very experienced promoting lots of wrestling matches digitally and does a great job at that. And also somebody that's a very good TV wrestler. And that's why I brought Matt in here. And I think Matt is somebody that could be a great champion for any company, including AEW or ROH. And just like Matt was a great challenger and could have been and could be a great TNT champion, I think Matt would be and can be a great world champion for ROH going forward. And I am very interested in working with Matt more going forward. And if Matt wins the title, then you can expect to see Matt here a lot, which I would love. So I think that is very exciting. And then you have the prospect of Matt wrestling the 9-time world champion, somebody who has been essential to the launch of AEW and also somebody who is a huge face for ROH and a legend of the sport and who draws headlines anywhere he goes. And that's the ROH world champion, Chris Jericho. And I think Chris is somebody who is so important in the story of AEW. And now it's a transformative time for ROH. And Chris has already been a great ROH world champion as the Ocho and done absolutely fantastic things for ROH, just like he did for AEW. And now it's great to see Chris on top here again. Chris has been a great world champion for both companies. And now it's an important time for ROH as we're looking into a lot of new opportunities. It's no secret that we've had some offers and some opportunities to do more things with ROH that I'm very interested and excited about. And now is a great opportunity to take the company into the future with a collection of great champions. And at the forefront of that, we have these fantastic world champions, Athena for many years, and Chris Jericho. In fact, Athena's reign is so long that she was the champion in ROH and has been since when Chris was the Ocho a few years ago, which was a really fun time in wrestling for me. And I look back at the show where Chris lost the ROH title, and you had such great matches on that show up and down the card, and it was just an absolutely fantastic day. And I believe Athena, in fact, won the title earlier that day. And then it was fantastic now to look back at, you know, how far things have come. So their reigns actually intersected then, but now they could both come to an end on the same night under very different circumstances, where you have Matt Cardona, who's an independent wrestler, who's come in here, and we have a history with him, and he's a real proud New Yorker. And not only is Chris Jericho really trying to use his birthplace and what may appear on his birth certificate to portray himself as a New Yorker, but I think a lot of us think of Chris Jericho as a Canadian legend, one of the greatest Canadian wrestlers of all time. And he's also proclaiming himself to be a true New Yorker. I'm not sure that's the case. I do think it's a compelling match with two really experienced stars, and it's very different from the other match in the double main event, where you have this relationship that's built for years on television. It's a rematch, and we've watched the growth of Billy Stark since she was a teenager. So it's a really compelling dynamic in the double main event, I think, across the two big world title matches with Chris Jericho versus Matt Cardona and Athena versus Billy Starks. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Tony. Samantha Shipman with the Daily DDT, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Bill Pritchard with WrestleZone. Samantha?
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. I have a question about about we're going to see, obviously, the tag team or the tag titles being defended with Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara. But we haven't seen, obviously, the trios in a while because of, I believe there's some injury stuff going on with the Von Erichs. Can you give us an update on the Von Erichs and when we may expect to see them back, and then talk to us some about this title match tomorrow between Dustin and Sammy, or with Dustin and Sammy, rather?
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, that'll be Friday. Very excited for that match, Dustin and Sammy, the World Tag Team Champions versus the Righteous. It's a personal story that has built up. And for the people who watch the ROH TV show, I think they can attest to there have been some really compelling promos and moments in this rivalry in recent weeks. And it's been illuminating for me because I didn't know the history with Dutch and Dusty Rhodes. And that was really interesting for me to learn, talking to Dutch and Dustin Rhodes about it and watching that rivalry build up on the screen and seeing this. I'm very excited for the double bull rope match. I think it's really something very exciting, compelling. It's different than anything we've had here. And it's the first double bull rope match we've ever had. And Dustin and Sammy are some really very, very different people, yet they get along so well. They are two proud Texans, and they are people that both are instrumental in the launch of AEW. Since the very first show we've ever done, they've been a part of it. They've been a huge part of it. And now they're coming to ROH as the tag team champions. And the Righteous are.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T team that has been dominant in their ROH matches, and they have absolutely really taken the ball and run with it in this rivalry, where I think they put together some very compelling moments and have beat the hell out of Dustin and Sammy along the way at times. And also Dustin himself did one of the best promos I've seen in recent memory about this. And if you haven't seen it, we showed highlights of it on Collision, and you can watch it in its entirety on the ROH TV. And it's absolutely outstanding. And there's more to come on the rivalry this week on the Go Home episode that you'll be able to watch. It's just really good stuff. And they've really fired Sammy and Dustin up. And I think Dustin is one of the greatest extemporaneous speakers in the history of professional wrestling. And I think that's one of those things about the partnership I'm really happy about, because I think they're very complementary wrestling talents, but also I think Sammy can really learn so much from Dustin, and Sammy has so many of the tools to be one of the very best pro wrestlers in the world. And I think he's got a great history with Dustin. They've had great matches together, even going back 5 years in AEW. And I think there's still so much Sammy can learn from Dustin as a great veteran wrestler. And that's pretty exciting and could be scary for a lot of the wrestlers, because Sammy has all the potential in the world. He's shown he can be a top star, and if he's a multiple time champion already, and then to be mentored by somebody like Dustin, who I think has everything it takes to this day to be a top wrestler in this business and has a great history and track record at the top of the wrestling business. That's an exciting combination. And whether it's AEW or ROH, I think they both have a bright future together. I think that the Righteous have really pushed them, and I'm really excited for this match and what's to come with Dustin and Sammy. Now, as for the Von Erichs, Ross has had an injury, and it's been a little bit longer healing than we thought it would be, but that's okay. And Ross will be back with us soon, and I'm excited about that. And because they have been doing a great job, and also it was one of those developing situations on an injury, and we want to give people time to heal. We focused more on the tag team, and the six-man champions will be back with us very soon also. But it'll be interesting to see whether Dustin will still be a tag team champion at that point, because the Righteous are running hot, and that's going to be an awesome double bull rope match at Final Battle. And Dustin's going in with two belts, but he might be leaving with one. And that we'll see going forward what the status of Ross and Marshall is. But I expect Ross back soon, and Marshall's been doing awesome himself. And we're excited to get those guys back with us as a six-man team. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Tony. Bill Pritchard with WrestleZone is up next, and he'll be followed by Chris Mueller with Bleacher Report. Bill?
Good afternoon, Tony. How are you?
Very well. Thanks for asking. How are you?
I'm doing great. So I wanted to ask about the relationship between AEW, Ring of Honor, and GCW, because obviously we saw Chris Jericho at, he appeared at their event in LA over the weekend. And for context, prior to that, when Ricky Starks was pulled from GCW events, Brett said that he didn't really have a relationship with you or AEW. So I just wanted to see how Jericho's appearance was put together, if you were involved, or if you could speak to what the state of both sides' relationship is now that you actually had Jericho appear on the show. And it seems like people are speculating it's not the only appearance that we're going to see as far as crossover.
Well, I think it remains to be seen. I know Matt has a lot of bookings on independent promotions, including there. And if Matt wins this match, it could really set the stage for some very interesting potential matches down the road in multiple promotions, because Matt is wrestling all over the world and for other promotions, but he's also wrestled for us in ROH and AEW. And Matt helped put that together. Matt asked me about it, and obviously I was
happy to send Chris to promote a match that's happening on ROH as part of the double main event. It's something we've spent weeks building up on ROH and AEW TV, which has been a nice thing. I think it's a little bit different than what we did with the Ocho also, because we were really just getting that new version of ROH going, and we hadn't done all the TV yet. And I think getting the weekly TV going and having Chris involved in it has been fantastic. And also having Matt Cardona appear for us has done really, really well. They've done some interviews and altercations in ROH. And also, I thought that Cardona versus Brian Keith was an excellent match. It did really well on Rampage on TNT for AEW. So there's a lot of matches and potential things that could happen with Matt being a challenger for the title and potentially being the ROH world champion going forward. So that's something to keep an eye on. And that, you know, that I, with Matt appearing there and this being a title match, that it made sense to do something to promote. You know, it's very much along the lines of things we've done to build up other matches along the way over the years. If you think back, there's many times where an AEW wrestler has appeared in an independent promotion to build up a match in AEW. More often than not, usually it happens in maybe more often in a place like New Japan or CMLL where we've done things. But in the past, there's numerous promotions all over the world where we've shot angles to build up a match that's happening in AEW or ROH or both at times. So I think that's part of the mindset for that. And obviously with Matt being there, thought that made sense since Matt's going to be coming in to work with us. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. Up next, we have Chris Mueller with Bleacher Report, followed by Andrew Baydala with Final Bell Media. Chris.
Can you hear me?
Hey, yes.
Okay, great. So you spoke a little bit earlier about Dustin Rhodes. I was just wondering, can you speak a little bit about what he means to just the ROH and AEW brand in general? Because there aren't a lot of bookers who would put two titles on somebody Dustin's age, but Dustin has obviously proven time and time again that he's an incredible performer.
Absolutely. Dustin is absolutely fantastic. He's one of the greatest wrestlers I've seen. He's truly timeless. And Dustin's, to me, one of my all-time lifelong heroes. I grew up watching Dustin Rhodes. He's one of the first wrestlers I ever watched. He was one of the most compelling people to me. Probably to this day, the biggest pop I've ever had as a wrestling fan. The most excited I ever got for anything is when Ricky Steamboat showed up as Dustin's partner. And I love watching that team and then the many matches they had teaming with Sting and great partners over the years, including the War Games they did together in Jacksonville in an arena I'm literally staring at right now out of my office. So I can see the building where they did that match as I'm talking to you right now. I'm looking at it. And it's a lot of memories for me as a fan. And also working together. It's crazy that it's been 5.5 years working together now, really close to 6 years that we've been teaming up. And Dustin's part of the story of AEW. And from the first match he had here, which was Dustin versus Cody at Double or Nothing, it was just such a fantastic match. And the Rhodes brothers made their mark on AEW and in professional wrestling as opponents that night after being great tag team for many years and great moments as a family and as part of their family's great history in wrestling. I think that's a real iconic moment for them and also for AEW. And then Dustin's gone on to be a huge part of AEW. He's still chasing his first championship in AEW, but he's been a great champion now in ROH where he holds two titles. And we'll see if he's still carrying two coming out of this pay-per-view. He's virtually guaranteed to still be one third of the world's six-man champions in ROH, but will he be one half of the world tag team champions coming out? And it's funny to say that because, like I said, thinking back, And just since you asked, I mean, gosh, I've been watching Dustin in great six-man teams and tag teams since I was a little boy, since I was, you know, 7 years old. So it's really cool to watch Dustin and see he's just as good as ever, which is just amazing to watch. After all these years, it's really something. It makes me feel very young. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Tony. I think we have time for two more questions here. So Andrew Baydala with Final Bell Media is up next, and we're going to end with Stu Myrick from Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Andrew, go ahead.
Tony, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, Tony, thanks for the time. Congratulations on this weekend's events. The Hammerstein Ballroom obviously is an iconic venue with rich pro wrestling history, and all three of your events have done very well regarding ticket sales. Could that influence your decision to run more mini residencies in major locations, especially in New York City during the holidays? Thanks.
I think it's a great question. I think that's a great point. We've got some great opportunities in the future to do things, running multiple events in a top city or a top venue in a top city. And certainly New York City sits atop the world of professional wrestling, and the Hammerstein Ballroom is such an iconic place for wrestling that we would love to do as many shows as we can there. I'm so excited to do it for the first time, and barring anything really unforeseen that I don't expect here, I just think that it's going to be such a fun time that we're going to want to keep coming back. Absolutely. And I think we have really found something here that is something absolutely we can replicate and potentially could be a great tradition for us. This is really very exciting to have ROH Final Battle and Christmas Collision and Dynamite on 34th Street and the New Year's Smash Rampage to end the year and lead into World's End. It's just a really, really cool thing. So absolutely, it's something that I'm looking forward to. And if it goes well, which I expect that it is going to go well this next week, then it's something I'd absolutely love to do again.
Thanks, Tony. We're going to close things out today with Stu Myrick from Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Excuse me, Stu.
Tony, thank you so much for the time. It's good to talk to you. Happy holidays to you.
Hey, Stu. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Quick question. So in the span of 16 days, you've got your hands in three giant events. You got Ring of Honor Final Battle this Friday, AEW World's End on December 28th, and then Wrestle Dynasty in Tokyo on January 5th. I know you're excited, but just talk about the level of excitement and maybe a little, whether you're overwhelmed or just anticipation, just talk about your feelings looking at that span of three events in less than 3 weeks.
Well, it's some bigger ones. Absolutely, Stu. Those are huge. And in addition to that, we have Fight for the Fallen, where we're launching AEW on Max and continuing on TBS, and then later that week we'll continue with Collision debuting, and we're doing this great campaign to raise money for hurricane relief around North Carolina, where it's impacted so many people, and it's been a real tragedy, and it's something that I hope in some way we can try to help people, and that's the idea of Fight for the Fallen. And also, it's a great way to bring attention to an important cause, as we're also working toward launching AEW on Max and simulcasting the show every week. It's going to be a new era in AEW and a new era in wrestling. And we'll talk about a lot of that more as we get approach World's End, because World's End really represents the end of an era in AEW and the transition into a new era. And we'll be talking a lot about that in the week to come. And as for Final Battle, it represents historically the end of the year in ROH. And really, it also represented the last show the previous administration ever did 3 years ago for ROH. And it was immediately after that where the company was about to fold when I stepped in and bought the assets and can have continued to run the promotion. And for a lot of people that have kept jobs and people that have found work in wrestling through ROH, which is a number of people, it's been a great, great thing. And when you look at some of the great championships, some of the great moments, some of the great rivalries and the great reigns, including just, we've spoken about this dominant reign Athena has had and this mentorship and kind of twisted relationship that Athena's had with Billy Starks over the years. This is something that's developed on ROH and is just a perfect example of the great moments that have happened along the way. And so many other great moments and memories. I first met Jay Briscoe at my first ever ROH show. It was the first time I ever met Mark and Jay. And working with Mark and Jay, competing versus FTR on the 2022 Supercard of Honor, which was my first ever ROH event as the promoter. I had sent FTR to Final Battle 3 years ago, exactly 3 years ago this week. And it was the final event Sinclair ever put on as the owner promoter of ROH, but they had wanted to do, and I had wanted to do back then, to build towards FTR and the Briscoes, hopefully to happen at some point. And it did happen in a spectacular way. It happened in this reimagined ROH, and it happened as a trilogy. And it's my personal favorite trilogy, and it's great memories, and great memories of all four men, and in particular, the late, great Jay Briscoe. And he had some great moments here. His brother, Mark Briscoe's had all those great moments by his side, and also as a singles wrestler and competing in trios, everything but those great tag team matches that were the forte and are the reason why the Briscoe brothers are in the ROH Hall of Fame. And I think it's going to be a great event. I am whelmed. I'm properly whelmed. I'm appropriately whelmed and fired up for what is going to be a great week in New York, and starts tomorrow with a holiday bash in Washington, D.C. for AEW for me, and it continues to ROH at Final Battle. We go from the holiday bash to Final Battle, the Christmas Collision, to Dynamite on 34th Street, into New Year's Smash, into World's End, and then Fight for the Fallen, Wrestle Dynasty, and the launch of Collision through Fight for the Fallen into Charlotte. It's just so many exciting things happening in pro wrestling, and a lot of them happening around ROH, New Japan Pro Wrestling, CMLL, and AEW. And all those companies are going to come together, have a great Wrestle Dynasty in Japan. And that's one of the many big events we're excited about. In New Japan, it's Wrestle Kingdom season, so a lot of great things happening all over the world in pro wrestling right now. Thanks for asking.
Thanks, Tony. I think you closed it out pretty nicely there, but any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Well, I think it's going to be a great event. Thanks for saying that, and thanks for hosting this, Danny. And I really appreciate everybody who joined us today. I think we'll be together at the Scrum later this week, and then I will be joining a lot of you again who don't come to the live pay-per-views necessarily every time. A lot of you will have another chance. We can talk at the World's End media call next week for those of you who also cover AEW, and that'll be a big event. I'm excited for Final Battle this weekend and all these great shows. And if you didn't get a chance to ask a question today, hopefully you'll be joining us either in person at the upcoming Scrums for Final Battle and World's End, or next week for the World's End media call. And thanks to everybody who joined us today and asked questions. We really appreciate you very much. I appreciate you very much. And I know Danny does too. And with that, I think we can wrap the media call. And I'm looking forward to seeing all of you tomorrow night on TBS for Wednesday Night Dynamite Holiday Bash. I'm really looking forward to that show. It's going to be a great card. Matches I'm looking forward to. Anna Jay versus Mercedes Moné, who's coming off a fantastic match in New Japan Pro Wrestling. That should be a great match. But is she overlooking Anna Jay and the TBS title challenger this Wednesday, tomorrow night on the Holiday Bash? And of course, the Continental Classic matches I'm really excited about: Shelton Benjamin versus the Beast Mortos, and Darby Allin versus Will Ospreay, a match I personally wanted to see for years and I can't believe is going to happen tomorrow. And big things to come. should be a great rampage with Brody King versus Commander, and then a big Christmas collision with Will Ospreay versus Ricochet and Hammerstein Ballroom, and so many great things coming up. And it's going to be a great week. And for ROH, we've been building towards this. I did not get asked a question, Danny, so I would like to just briefly address. I think if it's okay, if everyone's still with us, since nobody asked the question about it, I'll just bring it up. I think Lee Moriarty has done a fantastic job as the ROH Pure Champion. He's had some great matches as the Pure Champion and had built up a rivalry with Matt Taven of the Undisputed Kingdom. And Matt Taven and the Kingdom have a great history in ROH, and Matt Taven as a singles wrestler has a great history in ROH. He's won every championship other than the Pure title in ROH. He's won every men's championship there is. And that was a tremendous match this past week on the TV, and a rivalry we really built up. And I want to put big matches on the TV, and that's why it was great to have an episode last week with so much great action from the event we had in Columbus at GalaxyCon with a great crowd. They were tremendous for a collision, and Collision's been on a tremendous run, I believe, in recent weeks. And the crowds have been a huge part of that in Columbus and St. Louis, where the fans were fantastic for the shows, and that helps so much every time. And also fantastic for the ROH. And it was great to have the match we talked about a bit earlier, the four-way International Women's Cup qualifier, but also a great Pure title match. And Lee Moriarty versus Matt Taven was an outstanding match. And now this week, Lee Moriarty has put out an open challenge to the best wrestlers out there for the Pure Championship. We mentioned that in Collision. Tony Schiavone mentioned that. We've been talking about it on social media. This week on the Go Home episode, Lee's going to address that further on the Go Home ROH TV. But he defended the title last week in a fantastic match, and people want to know what's next for the champ going into the pay-per-view after he won a huge TV match against an opponent that a lot of people thought might even be the favorite in the match with Matt Taven. So as for what's next for Lee Moriarty, we'll find out at the show, but we'll hear from Lee Moriarty more. He's also going to compete as part of Shane Taylor Promotions in a tag team match, but on TV. But I think Lee will also address this open challenge that he's made. And Lee Moriarty, since he won the title at the Esports Stadium in Arlington, Texas at Death Before Dishonor, has really been an outstanding Pure champion. He's made several great defenses of the title, but I'm curious to see how this will go. I'm very excited about this open challenge that Lee Moriarty's put out after his big win last week. And I think that's something else to keep an eye on at this show. There's a number of great matches on the show that we have talked about and some we had not talked about. And Lee Moriarty is somebody that's a real standout. And since nobody asked me about that, I just wanted to bring that up because I'm really looking forward to Lee Moriarty's open challenge.
Absolutely, Tony. Well, thank you so much. And thank you to everybody. We're now at the end of our time. As a reminder, we're going to be distributing an audio recording to all attendees shortly. And we thank you again for being a part of today's call. We're looking forward to you joining us for Ring of Honor Final Battle on Friday night. Have a great day.